and you were destitute. Job opportunities for poor, single women were, shall we say, extremely scarce. If you remember, Naomi first tells Ruth to go back to her own people, the Moabites, and Ruth refuses. Where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Well, that's a beautiful passage, and that's just great. But now Naomi has a practical problem. Instead of one poor widow going back, hoping for help from her kin, Naomi now has another mouth to feed. And furthermore, she's a Moabite, an enemy. So now we've got two poor widows. Well, if you're a poor single woman and you still want to be respectable in an ancient Hebrew community, what can you do? You can feed yourself by gleaning from a field. That's one option. You can hope some guy notices you and wants to marry you. That's another option. A third option is calling on the social welfare system that was used in these ancient communities. Essentially, what we have here are villages of extended families, of people who are, in one way or another, related to each other. We also have a society before the invention of money. This is not a cash economy. Wealth for ancient Hebrews is all about land. Land that produces crops or supports livestock. Wealth is also about having enough people in the extended family to help work the land. If you have good land, and if you have enough people to help work it, and there isn't a famine, everybody gets to eat. The ultimate in wealth in ancient Hebrew culture is to have lots of land and lots of children. So the wealth here is in land, it's in grain, it's in sheep, and it's in people who can work, including children. So what do you think happens to a person who has no land? That person cannot keep livestock, and that person cannot grow food. This is someone who is in a very, very vulnerable position. Naomi has no land. Her husband used to have land. However, Naomi no longer has access to it unless a family member buys it back for her. Somebody else got that land while Naomi was in Moab. So here we're going to get into a historical detail which directly affects today's reading. In our reading today, no question about it, Ruth does two shocking and unexpected things. And we will get into that. But first, we've got to talk about one of the ways Naomi can get back her husband's land. Ancient Hebrew communities had what was known as a kinsman redeemer, a goel. So remember, in that time and place, if you lose your land and your people, you lose access to food. So a good way to survive is to have a system to make sure that you get back land anyone in the family has lost, and you get back any people who have been sold into slavery, which was not an uncommon thing. That is the job of the goel, the kinsman redeemer. If someone in the extended family is sold into slavery, the goel, the kinsman redeemer, their nearest well-off male relative, is supposed to buy them out of it. You can't lose good workers. If you have no one in the family to help work that land, you could lose the land, and then everybody might get sold into slavery, and that's really not good. If someone in the extended family goes into debt and loses their land, the kinsman redeemer, the goel, is supposed to buy back the land so it stays in the extended family. And the kinsman redeemer is supposed to take care of the widows in the family circle. So the job of the kinsman redeemer, the goel, is to help preserve the wealth and the life of the family by keeping the land and the family together so that they can all survive. So as we heard last week, Ruth just happens to glean in the field which belongs to Boaz, who just happens to be Naomi's goel. Naomi's kinsman redeemer. Boaz just happens to be the guy who can get back Naomi's land so she can support herself. So now the plot thickens. So remember, Naomi has this problem. She comes back home with nothing, but actually a little worse than nothing, because now she has another mouth to feed. But Naomi knows if she can just get Ruth fixed up with another nice Jewish man, then that will at least take care of Ruth. So she sends her to glean in the field with the hope that someone will notice Ruth. And someone did. Boaz himself. And Naomi gets all excited. And she gets this great and scandalous idea, which is where we are in the story today. We need to understand that what Naomi suggests is shocking and very risky, especially for a woman from an enemy land. Respectable ladies, do not go visiting men sleeping on the threshing floor in the middle of the night. And if you're from Moab, your respectability is already kind of suspect. So Naomi says, wait for Boaz to tell you what to do. Naomi assumes that Boaz has already showed strong interest. So perhaps, if Ruth shows strong interest back, Boaz will propose marriage. But here's where Ruth does something really unexpected. She not only follows Naomi's suggestion, but instead of waiting for Boaz to tell her what to do, Ruth is the one who proposes marriage, and furthermore, she tells Boaz what to do. Boaz is startled awake, and he says, "Who are you?" And Ruth says, "I am your servant, Ruth." But then she tells Boaz who he is and what his obligations are because of who he is. She says, "I am your servant Ruth, and you are our kinsman redeemer. Therefore, you need to marry me and get back Naomi's land." Now, here's where we have to look at some translation and context issues. In our reading today in English, all Ruth says is this, "And she answered, 'I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your cloak over your servant, for you are next of kin.'" Well, what does that even mean? How is that possibly a marriage proposal? Well, she says two very interesting things here. First, she uses the same term for protection that we heard in the last week's reading about God. In Hebrew, she says, "Spread the wing of your cloak over me." In the chapter we read last week, Boaz says to Ruth, "May you have a full reward from the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." So Ruth is using God language here for Boaz. To spread one's wing means to protect someone. It is a beautiful image of shelter and protection, and it is very much associated in the Hebrew Bible with God. So she says, "Spread the wing of your cloak over me," which means, "Boaz, I am asking for your protection here, and marriage is the only way that happens." And then she says, "You are next of kin." But in Hebrew, she is using that very special word, Goel, for the kinsman redeemer. So here's basically how an ancient Hebrew listener would have heard this scripture. This is how this listener would have heard Ruth's words to Boaz. "You are the kinsman redeemer for Naomi and me, so you ought to marry me, and you ought to get back that land for Naomi." And it sounds like Boaz is pretty receptive to this idea. "Okay, I'm on it. I'll do all you ask, Ruth. I'm on it." Now, there's this little complication of another kinsman, but I'm on it. So how is God happening here? Well, the Hebrew gives us some strong suggestions, which, again, are unfortunately lost in this English translation. First, Ruth uses that God language of protection, "spread your wing," to describe Boaz. But Boaz, in his reply in Hebrew, uses God language to describe Ruth. And he is not the first in the book of Ruth to do so. So this is getting some strong emphasis here. In the very first chapter, when Naomi tries to say goodbye to Ruth, and we know how that works out, she says, "May God show you the chesed you have shown me." Chesed is a very special word in Hebrew, and even a very special word for Lutherans. It gets translated as loyalty, mercy, kindness, loving kindness, steadfast love, and grace. Chesed is the word that is most commonly used in the Hebrew Bible to describe the nature of God, especially in the Psalms. And chesed is often translated as loving kindness or steadfast love. So way back in chapter 1, when Naomi tries to say goodbye to Ruth, she says, "May God show you the chesed, the loving kindness that you have shown me." And here in today's reading, Boaz basically says to Ruth, "May God bless you for your chesed, your loving kindness." By Ruth coming to Boaz that night and telling Boaz that he is the kinsman redeemer, and by proposing marriage to Boaz, Ruth is not only acting in her own self-interest, but she is also looking out for Naomi and for Boaz. Boaz is well aware that Ruth could have married someone else. But by proposing to Boaz, Ruth hopes to provide for Naomi, but also this gives Boaz a chance to have children. And this is huge, because this is chesed for sure, because Boaz, in a time when having children meant not only your personal survival, but it also meant the survival of your name. So the God of Israel shows chesed, loving kindness, by spreading God's wing of protection over the people. Boaz sees chesed, this quality of God's loving kindness, in Ruth's actions. And Ruth is counting on Boaz to spread his wing, to show the protective quality of God in his actions. So Ruth and Boaz are expecting to see God in one another, and they are seeing God in one another. What is unexpected is that these two people are supposed to be enemies, and yet they are seeing God's own goodness embodied in one another. What is also unexpected here is that Ruth's chesed, Ruth's loving kindness, is shown through scandalous speech and action. So Ruth and Boaz are human vehicles for God's chesed and God's wings of protection. So yes, God happens. God happens in the circumstances around us, and God happens in the people around us, and God happens within us and through us. And Christians may note that this is not the last time we hear a story in Scripture starting with a poor young woman in a scandalous situation. Another story involving a redeemer, another story involving God's chesed, God's loving